Philip Keller is a person that many of you may know as Trapper Jack. Trapper was a long-running morning show personality on Pittsburgh and Cleveland radio and well-known all over Northeast Ohio. And he has a great new podcast called Blind Faith. And so we thought on Finding God's Grace this morning, we'd talk a little bit about his podcast, Blind Faith, about the healing ministry that he's involved with, and a little bit about his own personal life. Philip Keller is my guest here on Finding God's Grace. Trap, welcome. It's great to have you join me.
You're supposed to say iconic figure.
Iconic.
Don't forget that part.
I forgot the iconic figure part.
Oh, and just it's Blind Faith Live, because Blind Faith was taken. So it's blindfaithlive.com for everything I do. I appreciate that. Thanks, Tony.
Blindfaithlive.com. Let's talk a little bit about the podcast itself. How did the name come about, Blind Faith?
Well, it's kind of interesting, because when the radio thing ended at the end of 2012, and I didn't even know how to spell podcast, or, you know, I even thoughts of putting up a website were far, far in the distance. And I've been faith based for a long time. My go away, and I was shown the door, if you will, after 25 years in Cleveland radio. And on the air, I thank them. I thank them for that. I thank them for hiring me. I thank them for showing me the door, because my belief, Tony, is that God's hand is in everything, and we need to find that hand. And that means good news or bad news, we have to find the blessing in it. And the blessing in being let go was 6 months later, I'm going, what can I, you know, I'm still going, God, wait, what do you want me to do here? And it suddenly dawned on me, because of my association with Dr. Isam Naini, who's had a lot of press in Cleveland, actually throughout the nation through Dr. Oz Show and 700 Club and other things like that, that when this guy prays, miracles happen. And I met him 15 years ago. And I'm from media, so I'm the most jaded human being in the world. I don't believe anything. And I just saw miracle after miracle and when this man prayed. So being around this, I thought, why don't I highlight these stories on a weekly basis? These are people, public figures. They're well-known people. They've had the most impossible things reversed with a prayer. Why not team that, their story, with what Dr. Naimi is saying, his inspiration, because he doesn't think like anybody I know, and just kind of put it together and put these things out there. It was interesting, because as I'm thinking about what do I name this thing, I'm legally blind. And so I thought, okay, I'm sitting in church waiting for Mass to begin, and I start chuckling. I go, what about Blind Faith? That's kind of funny. And then the live part was added later. Mm-hmm. Blind Faith Live. And then on the very first recording day, I'm going, okay, I'm going home and we're going to record. I'm sitting in that same church, and the song that started the Mass that day was We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. And I thought, that's a pretty good sign, so I think we're off to something here. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the starting point, Tony. But what's really been fascinating to me, and I've done this now for, we're in the 80 straight weeks category here, and I haven't missed a week of these episodes. What's been interesting to me is how it's evolved from let's tell some miracle stories and talk to Dr. Naimi to we all have the same access. We all have the same access to God. How do we utilize that? Who are we? What is our thought process? When I was growing up Catholic, and I walked away from the church for 15 years, came back because my future wife was in the church. So I kind of, okay, I'll go. And for another 15 years, that's the kind of way I was. But I was one of those Catholics who goes to the same Mass every Sunday, sits in the same pew every Sunday, listens to the same readings, and hears the homilies, and then nothing changes. I would go home, and my faith was no greater, no worse, no nothing from what it was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. My faith was not changing. And what I realized here through Dr. Naimi was that it should be. We should all be experiencing more of God. And what I mean by that is that as we do what he tells us to do, what did Christ say we're supposed to do? We're supposed to put God first and treat everybody like we want to be treated. And if we truly do that, I mean truly put God first. That doesn't just mean an hour on Sunday. That means every second of every day Christ is in the room, where you spiritualize this physical being every day, and you have Christ in the room at every moment, in every conversation, in every business dealing. You change how you do things. you suddenly aren't yelling at people that you might have yelled at before, like the kids or the spouse or whatever. Suddenly, in your business dealings, you're being more honest than you've ever been before because Christ is standing right there and he expects that. So you put God first. You treat everybody like you want to be treated. As you do that, the more you do that, the more I found I was experiencing the supernatural. And I don't think you're aware, Tony, what started happening to my podcast about 40 weeks ago?
No. Tell us.
Okay. And this was really interesting because this was kind of a change for me, and this was God letting me know what he would direct me. Because I, in my own podcast, I was wondering, what is my role? I'm doing miracle stories, and I'm doing Dr. Namy stuff. I mean, these things cast huge shadows. They're massive. This is God's hand stuff. And it's like, what's my role to present it? Is there anything more? Episode 41, that week, out of nowhere, I'm hearing a tune playing in my head. Now, as a radio guy for a bazillion years, I know song titles. I could play one-hit wonders with you, Tony. I could play one-hit wonders with you and do pretty well. And I know artists, but I don't know lyrics. I've never cared. I never listened that closely to lyrics. I like songs. I like the hook of songs. I might know that. But as far as the depth of a lyric, I didn't know. And what began at episode 41 and is still going on now at 82, 83, every week a song would pop up. And because I don't know lyrics, I would have to go Google it, YouTube it to find out what is this song that's playing in my head. And every week I would find out that there was either the entire lyric or a portion of the lyric that applied to that week's podcast. It was a lesson. It was a lesson. For example, in the last episode I just produced, this was bizarre. My wife and I are watching the Grammys. Sam Smith's song, which is called Stay With Me, is like record of the year, song of the year. And it's kind of funny, as I'm hearing the song, I'm going, what a cool song, but it doesn't fit the podcast. It doesn't fit because it's about unrequited love. It's about this isn't love, but stay with me anyway. It's all that stuff. It's all that pop culture, current events, whatever kind of stuff. The next morning I wake up and son of a gun, if that song isn't playing in my head, and I'm going, well, you know, that can't be it. That can't be it. Then I find the karaoke version of that song. And suddenly all that song is stripped down to the core, the song is Stay With Me, You're All I Need. And if that isn't a prayer to Jesus, I don't know what is. Stay with me, dear God in heaven. You're all that I need, Jesus. And so I stripped it down, and that became the beginning of that week's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because stripped down, that is what that song is about. And this has been happening for 40 consecutive weeks with different songs.
Mm-hmm.
Every song means something within the podcast. The lyric is the lesson. The lyric is the prayer. And then we go on from there.
And that is just so fascinating. You know, do you find Philip, that as you get closer to the Lord, as you go beyond that 1 hour a week obligation type of thing, as you begin to call upon the Lord in your everyday life, and pray continuously, and to include Jesus in your conversation, that the antenna go up and you kind of see things that were always there but you never saw before.
Absolutely. I think the greatest lesson, Tony, that is not being taught in our faith is the antenna that goes up for me is acceptance. I mentioned the blessing. The blessing of finding the blessing. You have cancer, there's a blessing in it. You have heartache in your life, there's a blessing in it. And you have to find it. You can't wallow in it. Because even in wallowing in self-pity, that is not putting God first. That is putting you first. But asking for help within that, now we're putting God first. When I say I go, the blessing in the blindness led to my faith. When you get right down to it, without it, I don't meet Dr. Namy. I don't meet these miracle stories. Being fired, the blessing of being fired led me to the podcast. So what I find on a daily basis is that no matter what hits me, I could meet the biggest jerk in the world. Now I have a choice, flipping them off on the highway, or I have a choice of smiling and going, poor guy, he doesn't know. Poor guy. You know, and I'm telling you, you live with acceptance. And why I say it's the most untold story is that when you think about Jesus Christ on this earth, what did he do? He's God. He knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to be nailed to wood. And he does it anyway. He didn't, other than saying to his father, hey, if this can pass, that'd be great, Dad, but your will, not my will.
Mm-hmm.
And he accepted it. There was never pity. There was never woe is me. There was always, there is a blessing in this pain. And that's what I find as I go through my day now, accepting whatever it is, and there's great news and there's horrible news, is trying to find the God in it. And that makes each day, I don't know what to say, easier, simpler, easier. Bad things roll off you a little easier. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, it's the acceptance, I think. Jesus in the room and accepting whatever comes because he accepted everything. And then he forgave. And I'm telling you right now, Tony, the one thing that I have seen over and over again in terms of healing, miraculous things happening, and it happens about every 10th episode too, is that somebody is held up. The cancer doesn't go away. The whatever doesn't go away. The pain isn't going away. And they're praying and da-da-da-da-da. And then when they finally get forgiveness, and I think of Mary Morton with this story, she had cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She was told she had weeks, maybe months to live. And she came to see Dr. Namie, nothing happened. She came to his healing services, nothing happened. One day she raised her hand at a healing service and said, when do I have to understand that God is saying no? I tell my kids no means no. When do I have to understand that God is saying no? And Dr. Namie said something I will never forget. He said, sometimes with some people, God won't deliver until we do. And I said, what did that mean to you? And she said, it meant I had stopped going to Mass because I was angry at God. Therefore, my kids had stopped going to Mass. She said, anybody that was healthy, I had problems with because I'm a nice person and I'm dying of cancer. So I had ill feeling towards people who were healthy. She said, I had to change that. I got some emails going to forgive people that I hadn't forgiven. I made some phone calls to forgive people and reconcile with people. 2 weeks later, she's going into her doctor, and it's like more bad news. And the doctor comes out. She said, he looked worried. He looked nervous. She said, I can't explain this, Mary, but all your cancer's gone.
That's
this to me, this just, it's mind blowing, but it tells you that every moment of every day, every breath, God is with us. We have his undivided attention. This isn't just us little speck here in the universe. We have his total undivided attention, and he knows every breath, every thought. And that knowledge is remarkable through my day now. Remarkable, because I'm thinking, you're with me right now, aren't you? There's an angel right here, isn't there? Jesus, you're here right now, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
When you live like that, your life changes.
It sure does.
It just changes.
It sure does. It reminds me of a story. One of my favorite storytellers is Dr. Tony Campolo, and he was talking about he was going to be preaching at a particular place, and they asked him. They said, "When you're done preaching, do you pray for people? Do you heal people, or try to do a healing ministry as well?" And he said, "No, I don't. I don't really do that." And he said, "Well, would you consider praying over some people at the end of your talk?" And he said, "Okay." And so he did. He gave his normal talk, which was well accepted. And after it was over, a half dozen or so people stayed, and he met with each of them individually, and he prayed over them and wished them well and so forth. And he said about 2 weeks later, he gets a phone call from a woman, and the woman says, I hope you remember me, but my husband had cancer, and we came up, and you prayed over him at the end of your talk. And he goes, and he's thinking in his mind, oh my goodness, he was cured. And he said to her, well, how's he doing? And she said, he's dead. She said, but the weeks that have passed since you prayed over him, his attitude changed. He went back to Mass.
Yeah.
He forgave some people that he had been fighting with. He reconciled with his brother, who he hadn't talked to in years. And she said this is the line that has stuck with me. He wasn't cured, but he was healed.
Amen.
And sometimes that healing comes in the form of a spiritual healing. You know, people brought the guy on the cart to Jesus, and they had to lower him through the ceiling to get him to Jesus's feet in the hope that Jesus would cure him. The first thing Jesus said to him was, "Your sins are forgiven." And I'm sure his buddies who had carried him all that way kind of looked, "Oh yeah, we were coming here for a cure, but his sins are forgiven." And then he said, "Stand and pick up your mat and go away." So he did. cure him. But the interesting thing is, if you had your choice of you're cured or your sins are forgiven, which would be the, you know, which would be the greater choice?
Well, didn't Jesus ask that question too?
He sure did.
You know, which is the greater? You reminded me of a story about Bishop Greaves up here in Cleveland, auxiliary bishop. He had a letter read at every Mass one weekend. It happened to be my parish. I just happened to be going to this parish, and something happened to have happened at that particular parish. And so Bishop Greaves forwarded this letter to be read at every Mass, and it had to do with a healing service. And it had to do with this woman who had, hospice was in the house. Let's just put it that way. And she had cancer. And she, I think she was in her 30s, but her dad had asked her, kind of like, what's your last wish? She said she wanted to go to a healing service. And so they came. And, but the daughter said, I know you have problems with God, Dad. I know you haven't been to church in years. I know you're mad at him for whatever the reasons and all that, but let's go together. And so they all came together, and they all got their prayer. And what's beautiful about the letter that Bishop Greaves had read is that, because it's written from the perspective of the woman who, yes, her cancer went away. It's all gone. It went away. Is that the joy that her father was now going to Mass every Sunday, that what he experienced in that process of healing was that he was now going back. He now saw the love of God that he didn't see before. He now saw the acceptance that he didn't see before. And that's why Bishop Greaves had that letter read over at every Mass.
And so both of them were healed, huh? Both
Absolutely.
The woman and her father.
Absolutely.
Philip.
And it was funny, Kathy Namey, Dr. Namey's wife, looked at him before they came up for the prayer. And without knowing anything, this is just the spirit talking, really. She just looked at the dad and said, you need it more than she does.
and that was the case. Philip Keller, Trapper Jack, is my guest. His podcast is called Blind Faith Live. And we're going to return, talk a little bit to Trap about his own personal journey with Christ after this.